Ask Jim Gamble to stay with us today. Morning to you again, Jim.
Morning, Steve.
I just wanted to ask you on different territory, because you're a former member of the RUC. You applied for the job of Chief Constable. And quite a lot of our listeners have obviously been talking about the recent protests on the ground and their expectation for the police to clear those protesters if they're blocking roads. Now, it's more complicated than that, but how do you feel the police is handling it at the moment?
I'll tell you how I feel. I feel extremely proud of the Police Service of Northern Ireland. I think, you know, yet again, they're put in the middle of an extremely difficult situation that's not of their making. And, you know, they're damned if they do and damned if they don't. If they go in and simply clear the road, you know, that there is a lack of sensitivity. If they stand back and try and contain the violence and allow for some other kind of intervention that, you know, creates a resolution, then they're damned because they're not doing it. So let me say, first of all, they're in a very difficult position. And, of course, I came on this morning to talk about an online issue.
Sure.
However, I think they're doing a difficult job in extremely difficult circumstances. I have seen some of the criticisms of them, for example, that the public may, you know, have lost confidence in them. Well, this is a political issue. The police are stuck in the middle. I think they're doing the best that they can.
But I guess, Jim, there would be an expectation from some members of the public that no matter how difficult politically it is for the police, it is the job of the police to uphold the law no matter what. Now, is that naive, the no matter what bit? If someone is blocking a road illegally, does it matter what the repercussions are? Has the police got a duty to take those protesters, if they're illegally blocking the road, off a road?
Well, they have a duty to make sure that those people who break the law are held to account. And I've been following the news and I see that, you know, we're up to over 100 arrests. I also saw on Twitter last night someone saying that, you know, protesters say that if the police continue to arrest them, that they'll just escalate the protest. Well, you know, too bad. If you go out and break the law, the police have the means these days, technology-wise, to capture your image. Many images have been circulated on Twitter. And where I would begin to become critical of the police service is if the evidence that was gathered during these events wasn't later used to hold those individuals that blocked our roads, committed criminal offences, intimidated others, prevented people getting to hospital when they could, if those people weren't ultimately prosecuted. There are issues about, you know, the speed with which you get through the criminal justice system. And it would be great to see night courts. It would be great to see those people arrested being more swiftly sentenced in the way that we saw in London, where people who create a public order conflict are held to account. And there's a demonstrable deterrent because they are imprisoned.
Precisely. I reported on that situation. I was on the ground in Manchester during the riots a couple of years ago. And what you saw, there's no doubt that the police lost control. That's a given. But they lost control momentarily. And what happened in England, as you well know, Jim, is that in the following days, the optics around the police making a public statement saying, we have now got control back, involved billboards being paraded around all the major cities of England of the rioters, with the police saying, we're on the lookout, we want you to help us find these people. Anybody that was coming into the city centre, I saw police stopping them and asking for their names and addresses. There were night courts. I interviewed a young person who had walked into a shop that was being looted. He lifted a pair of training shoes and threw them away again. He did a year in jail for it. There were news crews out at 6 and 7 a.m. in the morning with the police. The police were wrapping some of these people up and pulling them out of their beds and arresting them in the following days. Now, we don't see that in Northern Ireland. Is that because we have a different situation here, or should it be happening?
Well, I think, you know, it is happening, but you don't necessarily see it in the same way because, you know, the police in Manchester and London were dealing with issues that were about the looting in the aftermath of riots that took place in London and how that spread. And I think, you know, whilst there are some similarities, there are also some differences. What you have seen here is, you know, and I'm not here to speak for the PSNI, you know, and I don't want to do anything to make their job more difficult. But from what I've seen from the outside, there have been arrests. I understand the frustration as a citizen myself when you're sitting in traffic and thinking, why the heck can't I get home because of three men, a dog and somebody else, you know, protesting in the street. But ultimately, they're in possession of intelligence that you and I won't know. that might mean that some of the things they do on some of the occasions seem strange, and perhaps that they wait might seem strange, but they are carrying out, as far as I can see, effective follow-up. They're evidence gathering through the event. They're engaging afterwards in following people and holding them to account. But there needs to be a holistic criminal justice response to this, and that's about people getting through the courts quicker. And there needs to be a political solution so that our police are not yet again, like Steeler's wheel, stuck in the middle with jokers on one side and clowns on the other.
But you see, Jim,
because that's simply not fair to the police service.
But you see, Jim, I'd put it to you that sometimes just as important as what the police is actually doing is the optics and the transparency of what the police is doing. And public confidence is about seeing law and order being upheld.
Yes, I agree. And I think, you know, you see that which you look for. And, you know, as I've said to you, when I have been following it on Twitter, when I've been following it on the news, I see progressively more and more arrests taking place, right to the degree that last night on Twitter there was an individual broadcasting the fact that if these arrests continued that they would escalate the violence, or escalate the protest, rather. Now, that means that the police are, in effect, having an impact. And, of course, if this continues, you'd expect to see more affirmative action, more arrests, and more people process through the system so that there is an active deterrent, so that we don't feel bullied in our own city, that we cannot go about our business, so that traders can get back to business, you know, as is normal. But I am not a member of the PSNI. I do not speak for
I understand that.
I think they're in a very difficult position. And let's not forget, they will know things that we don't. They will have information about what's going on in the background that you and I and others can't possibly know. There has been a lot of reporting on this. There has been a number of peaceful protests. And we have a history here that makes policing uniquely difficult,
level,
in my view.
Just finally, Jim, the level of tension is palpable. Now, you know, it's about taking the heat and the tension out of the situation. You know, there's quite a lot of talk about the television show we did last Wednesday night. Yeah. And you just... You get a sense of the level of tension, whether you're reporting on this, whether you're a police officer, whether you're a protester. It's there. We can all feel it.
Yeah. The fact is there are insecurities in our community on all sides, and that needs to be addressed by collective political leadership. And I say that as a citizen of this country, as someone who lives and works here and loves the place. We need to have that collective cross-party responsibility that we saw during the Good Friday Agreement, where people bit their tongues on occasions, didn't say the things they might normally have said, so that the insecurities that exist in both communities can be effectively addressed. And that's about collaboration. We've done it before. I'm sure we can do it again. But the tit-for-tat blame culture at the minute is deeply worrying. And as I've said to you before, I think these things follow a pattern. They did so, you know, in England with the riots, and they tend to be doing so here as well, where it's all very bad. It's all about, you know, the people that are rioting, and then suddenly it's the police's fault. And we shouldn't, you know, and I'm not simply making excuses for them. Of course, there can be improvements made, but let's keep a reality check on that.
Just finally, and back to some territory that you're more currently familiar with, Jim. Some of the commentary on social media sites is vile, bordering on illegal. And I wonder, in this new era, should there be more resource put into those who are inciting hatred on social media?
Well, yes, I absolutely agree with that. Anyone that intimidates, bullies or harasses, and that includes threatening, whether they do it standing in the street outside someone's house, or, you know, if they adopt the cowardly tactic of using the anonymity of the internet to identify and harass individuals or groups of people, then they need to be held to account.
Some of it's
more
vile. I'm sure you've seen it.
Be held to account.
It's vile. It's disgusting.
Look, Stephen, I used to talk about the mad, the bad and the sad in the sense of criminology. With the advent of the internet, you talk about the geeks, the freaks and the morons and the moronic behaviour that's out there. I have people out there talking about, you know, lots of things that I covered up, you know, for the McCanns in the McCann investigation. Absolute idiots. That, you know, Operation OR, when we pursued the number of paedophiles that we did, that we shouldn't have done that for whatever reason. There are people out there who will just say the first thing that comes to mind, and the group mentality kicks in, and people compete to see who can say the worst possible thing. And I think the time has come, and the DPP in London has indicated that they're taking a very firm look at those offences which are committed using social media, because they are committed in a public space which we call the internet, but it is a public place. And they need to be held to account. And what we need to see is people in court being prosecuted for those tweets which amount to a criminal offence. Or those Facebook postings.
Appreciate your time today, Jim. Thanks very much indeed. Morning to you. That's Jim Gamble.